Northern California native Colonel Nicole Mann, the first Native American woman in space, has landed safely back on Earth after a 157-day mission. Mann commanded a team of three on their journey to the International Space Station. Prior to the team's launch to space on October 5, 2022, KMEN News Director Lauren Schmidt interviewed Mann, who shared a brief summary of her career leading up to the momentous mission that will forever etch Colonel Nicole Mann in the history books.
I grew up in Northern California, right above San Francisco in the North Bay. And after graduating high school, I went off to the Naval Academy in Annapolis. I was definitely interested in serving in the military. I played soccer as a kid, which was a big part of my life at the time. And I knew I wanted to study engineering. So this was the perfect school for me. After that, I was commissioned in the Marine Corps. I went back to California to Stanford University for a master's degree and then off to flight school to fly jets in the Marine Corps.
On their mission, the crew of the Dragon spacecraft conducted over 250 science investigations during their time at the International Space Station, something Mann told Schmidt she was excited about.
So one really excited experiment I'm looking forward to working with is called the Biofabrication Facility. And it is essentially 3D printing human tissue, if you can believe that. So we're able to grow cells on Earth, but because of gravity, they only can grow in two dimensions. But in space, you can grow these in three dimensions, just like they would in your body. We've been able to print a partial human meniscus for a knee, printing heart cells as well. The future concept is that one day, perhaps, we could print an organ. And they're hoping to do trials in animals by the end of the decade.
During a NASA interview, Mann shared some notable first week experiences.
I think one thing that was interesting for me is towards the end of the mission, I went back and I read my journal from the beginning of the mission, like that first week. And it was so cool to remind myself of that perspective that I had those first couple of days in space, that first time floating around in zero G and seeing everybody. It's something that I don't think you take for granted, but you get used to. You get used to looking out the window and seeing our beautiful planet. You get used to just floating around and tossing an M&M, you know, to your friends when you're eating. And so it was fun to kind of go back and reflect on what that feeling was like in the very beginning. And then when Crew 6 arrived, it was cool to see it through their eyes for that first time. You know, when you get out there and you're floating around and you're kind of unsure and you're unsteady, and to see how quickly Crew 6 was adapting, to see how quickly they were picking up on, you know, all the maintenance tasks and all the daily tasks that we were covering during handover. You can see that journey in yourself and in your crewmates, how much you change during that time and how you adapt. And it was really nice, I think, just to take a moment and to appreciate that and have that perspective.
The four-person crew lived in a confined environment during their 5 months in space. Mann shared a complicated relationship with Velcro while navigating the challenges of living in a zero-gravity environment for a sustained period of time.
Velcro. Definitely Velcro. It's your best friend and it's your worst friend all in the same day. I got to be honest. Like sometimes you just need Velcro, the good Velcro that works. When you stick something there, it actually stays, even if it gets bumped a little bit. And, you know, all Velcro is not created equal. So sometimes that Velcro is very strong and sticky when you need it to. And then other times, you know, in station, there's areas where it's a little bit older and so it doesn't do as good of a job. And then there's the Velcro. Anya will appreciate this with me. It grabs your hair every time you float by, so you have your hair back, and it's the strong Velcro, especially in the airlock, that gets you, and you'll be floating, and it will literally, like, stop you, your movement, and you pull back, and you're like, and your hair comes out with Velcro. So I know Josh and Koichi, you don't think you had the hair Velcro situation, but I know that you realized the look on my face that I just got Velcroed, and I think we all kind of shared that a little bit.
And the station is a big place, and so it actually really helped me and Koichi keep track of where Nicole was, so we could actually just follow her path, and then she'd be whimpering a little bit at the end of that path. But yeah, we knew where you were, where mm-hmm. you had been.
Though Mann and her crew faced many challenges during the mission, the view was a perk Mann enjoyed daily.
But the one thing that was really a treat is that you can wake up in the morning, take the window shade off, and drink your coffee and look out the window and just marvel at our beautiful planet watch the sunrise, watch the sunset. That was very, very unique.
Returning to Earth held its own set of challenges as the crew had to readjust to gravitational forces.
We're at, 4 days right now?
Mm-hmm.
Should we share the secret with them?
Sure, go ahead.
Gravity is not cool. After being in zero G, you come back to gravity and you're thinking, this is going to be great. It is not great. It takes you a while to adapt. You know, we have trainers that help us, you know, with their strength and their balance, but I think we're 4 days into it. We're still a little bit wobbly. But I think to your first question, coming downhill, really the landing wasn't that significant. But feeling G for the first time. So when we start reentry, we have a G meter. We could see the G rise. And we all commented, okay, well, here we are. We're at half a G. It's starting to rise. And like half a G, holy smokes. It felt like somebody was sitting on your chest and pushing you down. You're only at half a G. And so by the time we were at 4.5 Gs, you're really getting smooshed into that seat. You're really focusing on just breathing. You can feel your tongue in the back of your throat. And it's just amazing because it's so powerful and so strong. Even though you know that that's going to be the profile, it's still amazing. And then the drogues coming out and the chutes coming out, those are pretty dynamic events, and you're really swaying around. So by the time you get to splashdown, it's just poof, you know, you splash down. We had calm seas and light winds, but you get a little bit of a Dutch roll kind of going on. And so you can definitely feel that. And it definitely made me feel a little bit tumbly.
Gravity aside, Man was overjoyed to be reunited with her husband and 10-year-old son.
For me, it was that first hug with my husband and my son. You know, you thought about it, and it's going to be great to see them. But the second I got that hug, I just held on for probably way too long. I don't know. It was the greatest feeling in the world just to be connected with them in that way. You know, of course, we have pretty good connection with phone calls and some, you know, FaceTime type of audio-visual calls. But really, that first hug was special, and I'll always remember that.
As a Wailaki native and member of the Round Valley Indian Tribes, Colonel Mann made history as the first Native woman in space, though Mann said the astronaut corps as a whole is diverse. The four-person team also included Russia's only female cosmonaut, Anna Kakina, the first Russian to fly on an American spacecraft in 20 years, NASA pilot Josh Quesada, and Japanese astronaut Koichi Wakata.
So I think it's important that we celebrate each type of unique event. As I spoke to before, it's really so that you can kind of share that journey and help inspire the younger generation. I think the diversity that we have in the U.S. Astronaut Corps and in our International Astronaut and Cosmonaut Corps is really incredible. It's a great reflection of the diversity that we have on planet Earth, and that's so important to recognize. We're, I think, getting to the point, too, where that is not really as much news as it used to be in the past, right? The fact that a woman was flying to a space or that a woman was doing a spacewalk, you know, fortunately, we're finally progressing, I think, enough to an era where that's common nature. I see this as a great thing to celebrate. Of course, we're not totally there yet, right? There are still areas in the world, areas in the United States where we have barriers, and we're working to overcome those. But it's great to also celebrate the progress that we've made, where it is the capable and the certified that are selected for a mission and to execute that mission.
Though diversity may exist in certain sectors, as a country, we still have work to do, according to Mann. As a young girl growing up north of the Bay Area, Mann didn't realize what an astronaut was or that she would someday make history. In the interview with Schmidt, she had some advice for today's youth.
I think, you know, when I was young, I didn't realize all these possibilities. I didn't realize everything that was available, you know, as an opportunity for me. So I think it's important for young kids just to follow their passions. If they're interested in something, then, you know, talk to your parents, do some research on the internet. Hopefully they can follow along in my mission. Hopefully that'll inspire some young children to pursue their dreams in math or science. It's not always going to be easy, and it's okay to ask for help. And you might not have all the tools with you. So if you can find somebody that's interested, a teacher, perhaps a mentor that will help you out, you can achieve those dreams.
Though this historic mission for the Wailaki Native American from Northern California is over, Colonel Mann is just getting started with her sights set on the moon next.
We are really looking forward to the Artemis mission, and that is NASA's mission back to the moon, where Artemis 2 with crew on board, and then Artemis 3, where we'll have boots on the moon. So it's a great opportunity. I really think the world is going to be inspired and engaged in this mission. When we go to the moon this time, we are looking to stay. So we're looking to have sustained presence on the lunar surface. And that's our step. It's our step to exploring Mars in the future.
Colonel Mann is taking a 2-month break since her return, but has agreed to speak with KMUN News after her hiatus. Reporting for KMUN News in our studio in Redway, I'm Lisa Music.